Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. I know everybody's having a real good week because that means there are two games this week in just a short time. So you got a special edition of The Call right here with you, right before the game. Skyping in with me, of course, is my buddy Josh, who miraculously has a voice at this point after he was at the game against the Patriots. What's up, man?
Hey, I finally got it back, and boy, was it a great environment. But you're right, I was not talking on Monday.
Well, man, I got to ask you, I was sitting at home. I don't live too far away from M&T Bank Stadium, like a 15-minute drive. I mean, I am shocked that I couldn't hear that stadium from where I was sitting in my backyard, because just watching it on TV, that place was electric. God, there wasn't a dull moment during that game. No one shut up. It was great.
No, you're right. There wasn't a dull moment, and I honestly believe as many times as I've been to that stadium, I've never heard it so loud. We were on defense the first possession. I mean, it was – we were on our feet. I was jumping up and down. We were slamming on chairs. We were getting ruckus up there. I mean, it was electric, especially as the game went on. I don't know if you've seen the fight Saturday night, but again, you know, going back to the heavyweight fights, you know, we had John Jones win on Saturday night, and it kind of reminded me how the game was. It was back and forth. You know, they took the lead. They scored 13 straight. We scored 14 straight. They scored. We took 80-yard drive. It was just it was great to see how each team was just wow. It was evenly matched, and what an incredible comeback. And I knew we were going to win. I kept saying, "Believe, we're going to win this game."
I was right there with you. I never had a doubt in my mind that we were going to lose that game. You know, everybody always talks about Ravens Steelers and how that's the game they look forward to. But man, whenever we go up against the Patriots, I'm always so excited to see that matchup. If we lose, it's a disappointment. But the actual game itself is never a disappointment. It's always back and forth, and it's always both teams bring out the best in each other, which is something I really love about the competition here. But it was a pretty eventful game. I mean, so many things to look forward to and to look at. But I want to start off by talking about Torrey Smith. Man, I just got to say, what an inspirational dude. I mean, this team is already made up of so many inspirational characters, especially guys like Ray Lewis. But Torrey Smith loses his brother to a tragic motorcycle accident Saturday night. He finds out around like 1 a.m., and he's playing Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And you could tell just from the start when they did a moment of silence at the beginning of the game that this was a hard thing for him to do. I mean, he was tearing up. I have to give all the credit in the world to Torrey Smith for even playing the game and being there, because I know that how hard that had to have been for him. What was the feeling like in the stadium? Were people cheering extra loud for Torrey when he made his touchdowns? Were did you see signs? What was it like?
It was electric in general. Every time he even touched the ball or we saw him on the Jumbotron, there was a chant of Torrey. It was great. There was a standing ovation when he got his first touchdown, and the crowd was going nuts. They were going nuts in general, but you're right. There was a special feeling when he caught his touchdowns. When I got that message early Sunday morning, I showed it to everybody, and I was like, wow, can you believe this? And I was like, is he even going to play? And not to be selfish and thinking about this, because obviously what happened is very tragic. And the whole time I was thinking, is he going to play? Like, the first thing straight in my mind is how he's going to play. I don't see him how he's going to play, and we need him. You know, it's New England Patriots. It's a must win at this early point in the season. And to have him come on the field after what he's been through, he had an hour sleep. He went down at 1 o'clock in the morning. And to have the game he had, wow. Like, where does he pull that from? And it has to be from within, a desire. And if you think about it, I did talk about this at Tailgate Lot on Sunday. I was like, if you think about all the sports figures that have had a tragic moments happen in their lives. I mean, one of the best moments that come to my mind in Brett Favre's career, Brett Favre lost a father. He comes out on Monday night, and I think it was against the Chicago Bears, I believe, or the Minnesota Vikings. I can't remember. And this was with Green Bay, and he had a near-perfect pass rating. He had like four or five touchdowns. Like, I've seen that time and time again where – players go through adversity and then they just turn around and go on the field and just they just do it. They do work. And that does show us inspiration, especially with, you know, how we always like to call out of work with the little headaches and, oh, I got a fever, and these guys are out there making millions of dollars, putting their bodies on the line, and he just lost his 19-year-old brother, and he's out there with 127 yards, 6 receptions, and 2 touchdowns to help us win. That says a lot, and that says a lot about this team, and that was amazing.
It really was. And of course, you know, we want to send all our thoughts and prayers with Torrey and his family at this really, really tragic time. And you never, ever, ever want to lose a loved one like that. And I mean, I've been through some personal tragedies too. And I know I took off, you know, a day or two after something like this happened. But the fact that he was there and the fact that you could tell, like, even on the sidelines during the game, like, his mind was in the game, but at the same time, it was always thinking about his brother and trying to make his brother proud and trying to remember his brother. But one of the best moments, I think, for this entire season, we still have a ways to go, but still, at the end of that game, when the Ravens were celebrating, Torrey Smith had a smile on his face. And for a guy going through what he was going through, to see that smile on his face at the end of the game really just was inspirational, and it was just a great feeling as a fan to see this guy who's going through this hard time get so much joy out of his job and seeing the team succeed. So, again, such a hard time for Torrey, and I hope he knows that, you know, Ravens Nation, everything is behind him, and I'm so sorry for what he's going through, but what a strong guy.
Absolutely, man. And speaking of that smile, it was just what a team effort to bring that to him and bring joy in his life. You know, we won an important game. You know, he's going through adversity, and now you're right. Obviously, you don't see these things when you're at the game. I mean, you experience different things when you're at the game, and you experience different things when you're watching it on TV. But when I got home, I actually watched the highlights, and I saw some images. I saw pictures. I saw him on the sidelines, exuberant with joy, and just with his hands in the air, smiling on the face. And it made me fist pump, because I'm just like, that's right. This is what this team is about. It's, you know, our players go through adversity. We pull them together. We say, hey, look, we're going to do it for you. We got your back. And this team got it. It was a team effort, because, boy, we needed every second on that clock. We needed to play the whole 60 minutes, and we needed every inch, every stop. I tell you what, Brandon, I mean, going back on the game, literally, I was gone. Like, my voice was pretty much gone. It was hard for me to stay in it vocally because I was literally, I was gone. Because, I mean, you're screaming the whole time on defense, but here's the thing. Again, you know, going back from the Eagles game and how – not to complain about, I mean, it seems like a big, and it is a big subject because it's forefront, but I hate to say the word refs, but here we go again, Brandon.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh, from just our game, the whole NFL, the whole weekend was atrocious again, and I didn't get to see it. I saw the replays at the stadium, but when I actually got home and saw the Ladarius Webb interception pretty much almost iced the game for us and put us in great position, I didn't see no contact. And I'm just like, and even it echoed from Trent Dilfer on the postgame show to, I even heard on ESPN Radio a 49ers fan call across the country and say, I'm an unbiased fan, and that was even a no call. He didn't even do anything wrong. And I'm like, again, cost us the game. They have a big effect on it. I'm not saying cost us the game. They could, but like Ray said, you got to let them play. We got to let them play it out. I mean, you can't – how many pass interference and illegal contacts you want to call? They're calling everything. We had 14 flags for 218 yards penalized. I mean, come on, man. It's freaking ridiculous. I'm just getting sick of it. And I mean, we had some legit calls. I mean, the guy pulled Jacoby down. I mean, we had some calls go against them and against us. I mean, it was kind of fair, contested, other than that call. And how about that, the crowd, us in the crowd chanting BS on TV? My buddy next to me got a text message from his brother, and I'll say, hey, we can hear it loud and clear on national TV. It's great. And I was like, well, good. Maybe that'll get the message. And it, man, that stadium was rocking. When that happened, we flipped out, trust me.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy to hear it on TV. I mean, there's no way you can bleep something like that with a live crowd. And the announcers were, I mean, they acknowledged it. How can you not acknowledge it? It was pretty clear what everybody was chanting. And they had a right to. I mean, it's crazy what the refs are doing right now. I mean, this game, look at the Monday night game that was on and how it affected the game. This replacement ref thing is a problem. It is a problem.
Right. You're right. That game wow, like, again, Brandon, like, it's becoming a sore subject around the NFL, and from Greg Jennings, and I mean, I feel bad for the Packers, and I don't know what to say with that, because I don't know what the rules are. I've read the rules myself, and it does state that, you know, a tie goes to the receiver, but and that, I mean, just looking at the replay, you getting off our game a bit and just dissecting this, the defender had the ball in the end zone, and then they fall to the ground, but then they're signaling touchdown before they even know anything.
Yeah.
And then the one line judge is running all the way across the end zone. It's just a complete mess, man.
It's a big mess. And here's the thing, like, going back to the Ravens game, you got Haloti Ngata got a penalty for going after Brady after Brady had complained to the refs. There was no flag until Brady made a little hissy fit about it.
That fired me up, man. You don't know how mad I was at that. I got into it with a Patriots fan simply because of that call, and I said, because I told him to sit down, he's wearing a Brady jersey, and we got into it, and I said, your quarterback's a bona fide sissy, sit down, and we got into it, and I said, the guy next to me, he was in his 50s, and he said, look, I've seen Joe Montana play, I've seen Johnny Unitas play, I've seen Dan Marino play, I've seen Brett Favre play, the Iron Man in the NFL, and you know what, they don't call for flags. Joe Flacco gets hit, don't even call for flag. He's tough as nails. I don't even think Ben Roethlisberger gets whines for flags. And that dude's, you know how tough he is, and we hate him. So it's just, why? Like, why get up and run? It's football. Just go back to the huddle and go to a play. I'm just getting sick of it, man. That fired me up.
Well, when you run with the football, what do you think is going to happen? Especially, do you expect a 350-pound dude to just stop dead in his tracks? No, of course not. He's going to fall, and he's gonna need to stop in some way. And when you slide, I mean, he didn't want to get tackled. That's why he slid, and that's very obvious. But the thing is, the refs, after that whole call, after they gave the flag, they said 91 for Haloti. How clueless are these guys?
Pretty soon they're going to say number four, Brett Favre, and you know what quarterback's out there. I mean, I'm getting sick of it, man. But overall, what an incredible win. And I found out walking to my seat that the Oakland Raiders helped us out and pulled out a win against the Steelers. So, wow, you know, them at 1-2, and then we're tied with Cincy at 2-1, and the Bengals beat the Redskins, and with Cleveland losing again, they're 0-3, and they're coming in our house in a couple of days, and, you know, it's going to be great. We're looking good in the division right now. What an incredible win. I can't say enough. I mean, and about Justin Tucker, I even said before that kick, how much adrenaline was going through his, you know, veins, how much pressure was on him, you know, and he kicked a clean kick the first one that iced him, but and my buddy saw it downstairs, and he texted me, he goes, it was a bad snap, I saw it on TV. He nearly missed that by inches. You talk about football being a game of inches, literally almost hit the post, but due to almost a bad snap, but Sam Cook did a great job recovering. He kicked it through. It almost, you know, held our breath, the shades of last year again. I was like, really? Are we going to go through this again? But what an incredible win, and what about Joe Flacco? I'm going to give my game balls out right now, and obviously, first and foremost, Torrey Smith. He gets the first game ball. He deserves it. Well deserved. Six catches, 127 yards, and two touchdowns. We needed that tremendously. I don't think we would have won without him. Next game ball goes to Mr. Joe Flacco, I'm going to say. What poise. I don't think he was in a sack maybe once. I mean, other than the pick that he threw, he forced the ball in there, but he what resilience does this offense show? How Patriots go back down and score, and then we get the ball, drive 80 something yards, score again. It was just wow. Like that I was like, wow, we have an offense to keep up with him. Just the defense stop him. And the defense, let me tell you what, man. What is up with Kerry Williams? He need to get yanked out of game.
Jeez, Kerry Williams is a guy, even last season, I've had a problem with. He gets smoked by everybody, and every single quarterback out there knows it, and they target whoever he's covering because they know Kerry Williams won't keep up. This guy is a liability on the line, and I don't even care that I'm saying that. Kerry Williams is the weak link out there right now.
Absolutely he is, and it was just I was up high in the corner of the end zone, and I could see the plays develop, and I knew what the Patriots game plan was. I don't know if you can tell on TV, but the Patriots, what they were doing, they were throwing over to the Ladarius website, okay, and it was kind of, you know, they were doing well over there. But then they were picking on Kerry Williams the whole time, and Brady smart enough, Belichick smart enough. What they were doing is, what they did is they would pick on Williams, and then when they didn't, they would throw these little bubble screens away from him, and then we couldn't cover it. And I don't know what was up the pass defense, but freaking Wes Walker catches 147 yards, you know, and I don't know about this. Julian Edelman was all over the place, and you know, it was just atrocious. Like, we get third and long, and they just get a first down. It was frustrating. It was almost like it reminded me of the Eagles game. They couldn't cover the receivers there, too. It was third and long. Be third and 18, they catch a 22-yard pass. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, I don't know if our secondary is that bad, but something's got to give.
Absolutely agree with you. Something's got to give. And Kerry Williams, man, he's got to step up or he's got to move over because he is a weak link out there. Absolutely. I want to talk to you a little bit about Flacco. You gave him out your game ball for this game, and I completely agree. He did a great job, but he definitely scared me a little bit. I mean, with that pick to Pitta, it was very obvious that Pitta is, like, they were covering Pitta pretty well because they know how much Joe likes it. So I don't want Joe to become too complacent with always throwing to Pitta. It seems like people are kind of catching on to that. But in the fourth quarter, that last drive that he had, I had so much respect for Joe, and I knew I had so much trust in him. Like, throughout the game, I wasn't sure if Joe was going to be able to compete with Brady because, you know, he didn't look as good as he did in week one. But I always can count on Joe Flacco to be the guy in that last drive to get the ball down the field, and he did that last drive. Did a great job with that. But the rest of the game, do you feel like Joe had that game in his hands and control of it?
I knew when the second time they let us back, I knew. I looked at my buddy. I remember grabbing his shoulder, and I said, I think we have a bona fide quarterback in Baltimore finally. And he goes, we know we got the real deal. And we were talking about that because here you got a Super Bowl winning quarterback who's good, you know he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Tom Brady's showing us how it's done and picking him apart and whatnot. And I've seen that. We would look at like a blitz and he will almost act like, you know, what Peyton Manning does, and he would call it out. I can see him do that. And I'm like, look, he's changing the player, he's calling out the blitz, and he would do that little screen pass where he'd get out, he's smart. But I've seen Joe Flacco take it in his hands. He goes, okay. It's almost like a chess match. He goes, okay, you can do that. I can do just better than you. And he outdueled Brady again. Not that stats matter again, but he outdueled him in the AFC Championship. We lost that game. He outdueled him in the Sunday night game. We won that game. Flacco's a real deal, and I'm tired of – I'm putting the elite things to rest. You know, he's neither elite nor is he not elite. He's just right in the middle. He's zoom because, you know, he can, you know, he's got his bad moments, but he can be good. But you know what? When a time counts, Joe Flacco gets it done, and it gets it done well.
I totally agree with what you're saying right there. He does have his moments where he does scare me. I mean, there are times where I'm like, what are you thinking, Joe? But when it was that final drive, Joe knew where he had to get. I mean, touchdown would have been great, but he knew at this certain line, this is where Tucker can come out and do his thing. So I trusted Joe completely that he was going to be able to get to where Tucker needed to be and take that drive down there. Because if you remember back, what was it, two seasons ago when we were in Pittsburgh and the Ravens beat the Steelers, and it was Ben wasn't there, but Joe had this drive all the way down the field, and I think he threw it to Hushman Zada for that final touchdown and win the game. Ever since then, I'm like, if there is a tight time frame and he's got to get down the field, he can get it done.
You're right, he can get it done. And you know, speaking about that, it just shows you how, you know, how a week ago changes things. He could have done the same thing in Philly. I mean, we had the ball with two timeouts, a minute 55, and he looked lost. He was overthrowing receivers, and I don't know what that was. And then he comes in. I don't know if it's whether he played at home versus away. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we're not going to play what if, should if, would have, could have game, but we could be 3-0 if they do the same duplicate drive in Philadelphia now. But besides the fact, that's what kind of leaves me racking my brain here. You know, he does it Sunday night. He's done it in Pittsburgh. And maybe it's the opponent. Maybe the big AFC opponents on the big stage bring it out in Joe where he's like, you know what? I'm going to prove these guys wrong. I guess going against Michael Vick in the NFC, it doesn't really matter because it's the NFC. We play them once every 4 years. But when we play the Patriots consistently, when we play the Steelers consistently, I think Flacco, it's almost like we rise to the occasion and he knows this is a big game and we have to do it.
Yeah, I can totally agree with you right there. But even if last week, let's say Joe didn't have his head in the game or didn't know what to do with that last drive, To me, it seems like he learned from last week and he went out and did what he had to do against Brady. So I like that in a quarterback. You can adapt, and he's learning to adapt a little bit more each week, so I'm happy about that. But, hey, man, let's talk about this. We got a game coming up. I mean, 6 days after the Patriots, the Browns are coming to town, and this is two games in 6 days. I mean, as a fan, I haven't even recovered from Sunday. I don't know how these players are doing it.
Your recovery time is short and quick. It's going to be a short week, but you know we did it last year. We did it coming off a win, and then we had the short week and played on Thanksgiving night against San Fran, and we did it again. We won both games. I think it's easily doable. Not to overlook the Browns. The Browns are kind of horrible. come on, seriously. But, you know, they're an NFL team. They're a dangerous opponent, divisional opponent. They're dangerous because they are 0-3 and they have nothing to lose. We're at home. We can get lazy. This could be a big trap game where, if we're not careful, 2-2 could be easily done. But, you know, 3-1 is definitely a lot better. It'll look a lot better on that, especially with the kind of a mini bye week. If we can get past this, again, with no major injuries and Sunday night, if we can get out as clean. We have a long week to rest, and then we go halfway across the country to Kansas City that following weekend. So it's going to be good for us at least to get that rest, but we need to get past Cleveland. And again, I'm expecting this to be a win. I'm going to be there again, so I took off, so I will be down there again. So it's going to be great for me. Two primetime night games in less than a week. You know, it's going to be great for us as fans to get down there and hoop it up again. I'm excited. I'm very excited to be on the national stage again, the world watching us and see what we can do. I'm going to predict I'm not going to predict a close score in this one. I'm going to say it's going to be 27-7. I'm going to predict a brutal beating on this one. I think the defense finally gets their swagger back. I mean, pass wasn't there against Brady, and I know that goes hand in hand. Maybe that's going hand in hand with the corners being so vulnerable, because when Brady has all the time to pickpocket back air and just stand there and throw the ball, I mean, even Kyle Bowler himself could probably look like a good passer back there. And that goes to show you that if we can play a complete game this time and get it back on track, I think against Cleveland, we're going to find our footing. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But again, you know, I'm expecting a win.
I'm expecting a win as well. It's the Browns. Of course, we have our own history with them because that's where the Ravens came from. You know, they're still angry about that. But they are, I don't want to say an inferior team, but they are an inferior team. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here. We talked about this earlier. This is going to be a big test for the defense. Show us what you can do out there, Kerry Williams, and do your thing. And the offense, you know, this is a good thing to keep going with that shotgun formation and figuring that out. I think you can try some stuff in this game, maybe. And I don't want to see, like, Tyrod Taylor to come out at the end, like we saw in week one. But I want to see Joe kind of – I want to see a little bit more diversity from Joe instead of just Pitta, 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 Ray Rice, Pitta, Ray Rice, Pitta. I want to see a little bit more out there. So I think this is the game to do that.
Absolutely, it is the game to do that, and we can execute the game plan very well. We should be coming out this with no injuries again. Hopefully, that's been great so far. Three games in the season, no injuries. If we can keep that going, we have a long time to rest and to watch the rest of the NFL beat up. And let's pray to God Himself that these refs get it right this time, and we're not having to scream BS again at the stadium, because even though that was amazing. Telling you what, I just don't want to. I don't want to experience something like that again. We just need a good, clean game on both sides of the football, offense, defense, and as far as the refereeing goes, you know, hopefully NFL get that straight. And then I'm expecting another big crowd, raucous. Let's get it done. And amid of the last week in baseball with the Orioles playoff chase and with two games in 1 week, the Orioles are in town playing. It's an electric week, and I think the fans are bringing it. We know. Again, it's one of the loudest places in the NFL, and I don't know if anybody's seen this, but you know how all we love to hate number 86, Hines Ward. Mm-hmm. Remember him? How many times I want to knock him in his mouth for that stupid smirk? But he actually picked us on Sunday night because he said that it's hard to play in the quote unquote Lions Den, you know, and it showed because it was loud there. It's going to be loud on Thursday. I love the fans of Baltimore, how we can get loud. We know when to get loud. We know to stand behind this team. And I mean, I've seen some people leave after that fourth down call And going back on that, I wanted to touch that. I almost wanted to overlap that, but going back to the New England game, you know, when they went on for a fourth down, I liked the call on fourth down, but I didn't like the play call. I don't like Bernard Pearson in that short yard situation. I know he's a bruiser back. I either say give it to Vonte Leach or run Ray Rice or even do play action and throw it in the flats. But again, I like the aggressiveness of this team, and I think if we can be aggressive on Thursday night, it'll be full steam ahead going into Kansas City in a week and a half.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. This is going to be a good game to watch, and I think this is going to be it's not going to be as tight as New England, so it's not going to be edge of your seat. So maybe people can sit back a little bit and enjoy the game, maybe have some crabs, and I don't know what your plans for over the next weekend, but I'm going to enjoy one of the last regular season games at Camden Yards on Saturday for Brooks Robinson night. So I'm very excited about that. The Birds of Baltimore are flying high, and I'm glad that that's going on. So you get to check out the Ravens. I get to check out the O's this weekend. And it should be a great weekend for sports fans in Baltimore.
Yes, sir. Let's get it done this week. Let's have two victories at home. Again, we have one of the best home records in the NFL. Let's get it done at the bank. And can't wait to be there on our tailgating with y'all.
All right. So do we miss anything? We cover everything? We good?
I think everything's covered except Ed Reed in that football field he covers. I think Ed Reed's got the rest of it covered.
So that's a good point. I like that. So, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people follow you for all that Ravens information you got?
They can follow me right on Twitter at ItalianGQ52.
Awesome, man. And if you want more information about this podcast or any of the other podcasts on the at Brando Cash Network, make sure you go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us there. Leave a comment on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. And if you write a little review or anything like that, good, bad, we don't care. Just leave something there, and iTunes will kind of notice a little bit more and help promote us a little bit better. So that'll be good, too. But, hey, enjoy the game this Thursday. It's Ravens football twice in 6 days, which is pretty cool. So enjoy the game. Josh, you have fun at M&T Bank Stadium, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. Go Ravens.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.